Well, it's been a frenetic 24 hours in the Middle East. Over the weekend, it looked like talks to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza had broken down in Cairo. But then yesterday evening, out of the blue, it seemed, Hamas said that they agreed to a ceasefire plan. Over to Israel next. Within the hour, the Israeli government said it did not. Meanwhile, in the southern Gazan city of Rafah, Israeli forces are continuing their airstrikes on a place where nearly around 1.4 million Palestinians have fled to over the past 7 months, as their homes elsewhere in Gaza were destroyed and family members killed. Palestinian medics say that 5 people were killed in Rafah last night. So what was in the ceasefire plan that Hamas said yes to and Israel no? We're joined by Jason Burke, international correspondent with The Guardian newspaper. Jason, what is the detail of this plan?
Well, the detail is very complicated. It's not quite the case that Israel has said no to all of it. It's a complicated process, but basically Israel accepted one proposal, of which much is now included in what we think is the new proposal, but is saying that there is new stuff in the new proposal that Hamas has accepted that it doesn't accept. So, as I said, it's extremely complicated. The basis is a exchange of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza for a ceasefire and the withdrawal of Israeli troops from much of Gaza and then its subsequent rehabilitation. That's the very broad outline. The sticking point has long been that the definition of what the ceasefire might be, whether that's a permanent ceasefire, an end to hostilities, or a pause. The Israeli government want it to be a pause. They want to reserve the right to continue to attack Hamas if they need to. They still are committed to the war objective of what they say, destroying Hamas, dismantling its military and administrative infrastructure, and making sure it can't pose any further threat to Israel. The Hamas want an end to hostilities, a definitive end, to allow the reconstruction of the territory and Gazans to go back to their homes or what's left of their homes. And obviously that would leave Hamas still at least in power in a pocket of the strip, or at least a presence there.
So why wouldn't Benjamin Netanyahu jump at the chance to secure the release of dozens of hostages?
Well, this has been a question for many, many months. Netanyahu and his officials say that they cannot leave Hamas in a position to continue threatening Israel and that military pressure on Hamas is the best way to obtain the release of the hostages. That is not a position shared by many people in Israel. And there's strong protests last night by representatives of the hostage families and their supporters calling for an immediate ceasefire and to accept the deal. But Netanyahu's government depends, his hold on power depends on coalition allies who are far right parties who are absolutely against the kind of concessions that would be necessary to obtain the release of the hostages. And so Netanyahu is caught between domestic pressure to release the hostages and also domestic pressure to destroy Hamas and his right-wing allies. Mm.
So the ball is in Israel's court, but it's also in Joe Biden's court then, is it?
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, this has been another really important question over recent weeks and months, is how much influence America has on the Israelis, or particularly the Israeli government anyway. And there have been conversations recently between the two men. There was one yesterday. One thing that's very interesting is that the Americans have been telling the Israelis not to invade Rafah. There's been a lot of military activity over the last 24 hours in and around Rafah, including this morning, an operation that has seen Israeli tanks take over the Gazan, the Palestinian side of the key Rafah crossing, which is a really important strategic objective. That would seem to me to be evidence of some influence of Washington, because the Israelis have not gone for a massive assault on the city as we've seen them do previously in the north and in the center of Gaza, and have gone for something that is a much more precise attack on a particular and highly important strategic objective. That may indicate that some of what Washington has been saying to Netanyahu has been getting through.
Are the US fingerprints all over this ceasefire proposal? William Burns, the director of the CIA, is still in the Middle East. He's there right at the heart of this. And it was reported that this ceasefire proposal was actually drafted by the United States a few months ago, back in February. And at that time, Israel reportedly agreed to it at the time.
Well, there have been multiple drafts, and there are multiple actors involved in the indirect negotiations. I mean, you have Qatar, you have the Egyptians, you have the Americans, you have others too, all trying to influence different parties and also to advance their own interests, obviously. I don't think we can say that the American fingers are all over this particular tentative agreement. It's a mix of different things. The Egyptians have actually been most important in recent weeks. It was the Qataris before, the Turks were involved too. So this, as I said, when I started talking, it's an incredibly complicated process. And the actual proposal that has been put together is contested. People are saying there are different versions of it, and nobody's quite clear who's agreed to which version. And even the most simple of the versions involves a three-stage process with three different consecutive ceasefires, each with its own terms and processes. So whether it all comes off or not is really very unclear at this moment. I think we're still a long way off a kind of definitive end to the conflict.
So just briefly then, Jason, the talks are still continuing. Is that where it's at this morning?
We are at a position where Hamas have accepted a proposal. The Israelis accepted a possibly different proposal last week, but now the Israelis are going to send a new delegation to Cairo to restart these indirect talks. Hamas and Israel are not talking directly, but they're both talking about proposals.
Okay. Jason Burke, international correspondent with The Guardian newspaper. Thank you.